At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Sean Diddy Combs no longer playing defense in the courtroom. He is serving time in a federal facility. But the big question now isn't just how long he will be behind bars. It's whether prison actually ends his legal exposure or just pauses it. We're going to break this down with what life is really going to look like now for Diddy on the inside, now that he's shocked that he has to spend some time there, and asking whether the FBI or federal prosecutors might still be, I don't know, circling. Maybe there's more to find here in the wreckage of Sean Diddy Combs. Joining us to discuss this morning, Jennifer Coffin-Danfer, retired FBI special agent. I want to start with this. Obviously, this was a big, big case. A lot of the things that were brought by the federal government did not succeed in landing convictions. But there's a lot in the world of Diddy. There's still hundreds, literally, of civil cases that are coming at him. That gives, you know, a lot of time for, I don't know, more things to come to light. What are your thoughts here with Diddy going behind bars? Could, and this is just pure speculation, are they? Do you think they're going to keep looking for more charges to throw at Diddy on a criminal level or a federal level?
Well, Tony, no. I think they took their big bite of the apple. That big bite was a RICO bite, and it failed. And because of that, and again, RICO is so encompassing. It makes the statute of limitations non-existent. It makes all the things they thought he did, right? The arson and other crimes that were out of statute of limitations, it brought them all in, and they failed. To be quite frank, other than those two Mann Act charges, basically bringing somebody over to commit a prostitution type act, that's how they got him. But still, I'm going to tell you, for somebody like Diddy, 4 years is a long time.
It is. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about, you know, because it is. I mean, it's I know the reports are that he's very, you know, he's shaken by this. He thought he was going to walk and do time served. And now he's there and he's going to be there for several years. There's concern he's going to be broke by the time he's out. I don't know. He's got a lot of money. There's a lot of cases. But, you know, money will only go so far, especially if you're not necessarily raking any in at the moment in time. So there's a lot that can happen in those handful of years. Let's talk about life itself behind bars with his new life, 50 months. What kind of situation is he going into in the Bureau of Prisons here as Diddy, as a celebrity? Are there any sort of considerations being made for him?
Well, let me describe these facilities, first of all. This is not a state pen. This is not a jail situation. These facilities are actually relatively, they're very nice. Everything's clean. There's cable TV. There's gardening programs. There's baseball programs. There's a lot to do there as long as you keep your nose clean. There's going to be a lot of opportunity. Obviously, he'll be in the rehab, you know, free rehab for him. But this probably is not exactly what everybody might be picturing. It's much nicer than likely what you're picturing.
How do I sign up for something like that? I mean, this sounds lovely, actually. It sounds like a program you'd join at the Y, you know?
All you have to do is get some, just get some people to travel state lines for sex purposes get caught.
Order some baby oil. I'll see if I can get started.
Yeah, might as well. Jeez. I mean, so what kind of, you know, we're talking about this facility here because a lot of people are thinking, okay, well, this is going to be a hard time. There's of course different types of facilities, some that are a little bit lighter than others. Specifically, where he is going. What do we know? I mean, specifically of what kind of life he's going to be leading behind bars?
Well, we know specifically they have asked for one specific, it's a very low security type facility in New Jersey. And mm-hmm. the judge has all but said he's not getting that. But he would say he would keep him within the New York, New Jersey, you know, that sort of area. Because, and that makes some sense. He's only going to be there 4 years, which I still want to say, 4 years, just think about that in your life. That if I looked ahead at 4 years and said, I'm going to be in a prison, not free, I mean, it's going to be rough on him, mm-hmm. even if
yeah.
in a garden.
So these pictures, Todd, that you're showing, these are new to me. I feel like I haven't seen them. Was he like really leaning on the chair and like bawling?
Yes, that was him in prison.
How did I miss that?
In court. This is his sentencing the other day.
Yeah. Holy crap, I missed that.
Yeah. I guess you did.
That's news to me. I didn't realize he reacted that way. Goodness.
He did. And you know, 50 months, as I keep saying, it's a long time. And that's if he doesn't mess up.
Yeah.
That's if there's no fight. If he doesn't get somebody to sneak in his cell phone, if he doesn't get a little weed on the side, that's if he's perfect in 50 months. If he's not, he could be looking at more. I should say, he's going to serve 85%. If he messes, mm-hmm. he could get the full 50 months.
And they're going to be watching him like a hawk. Like they're going to be watching for weed and all kinds of stuff coming in, aren't they?
Well, not any more than they watch anybody else. You know, most of these people serving federal time, there's a lot of people that have some celebrity or at least celebrity in the criminal world. A lot of the people in there are white collar crime criminals that have, you know, bilked people out of millions and millions of dollars. But he's not going to be seen any different other than they're going to make sure that nobody tries to make a name for themselves by killing. Yeah. But at these low security level he's at, I don't think we're going to have any hardened criminals in there right next door to him.
And that's what I was wondering about. I mean, you almost said low kill there, but I mean, it kind right. of is. It's like it's a low kill level facility, likely where he is going, where you don't have necessarily that sort of atmosphere. Is this going to be compared to where he's been? Because he's been obviously in the New York system there in the jail. Compared to that in terms of rough and how difficult it is and risk, what is he looking at?
You're looking at, okay, I would judge that at a scale of about 7 or 8 where he's at now, just on the scale of gross, danger, you know, not good food, in the mix with other people who could be problematic. We're going to be down to about a 2. He's not going to get a minimum security, but he should get and likely will get a low security. So we're going to be at about a 2. And I'm serious. They offer so many programs. It's when I say programs, things that they're allowed to do, look, they want to keep these guys busy so there aren't any issues. And, you know, I had a conversation with a warden once about that. I said, this is just ridiculous. This is a true club fed. He said, Jen, we don't have any problems here. Keep everybody happy. They're distracted. And that helps them do their job.
Well, and that keeps them safe. So.
And is that such a bad thing? I mean, it is supposed to be a rehabilitation program. So some that we actually do that have rehabilitation type acts, I get the attitude is going to be, this is crazy. You don't deserve any of this. You're here to serve time. But it probably does work better when you have everybody busy and you're not just having everyone angry and the only skill that they're learning is how to be more conniving and deal with other manipulative human beings and get bulked at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't exactly set anybody up to walk out and not repeat offend. So maybe this does make a little more sense. Although Diddy, I'm sure, is going to find a way to work the system to his advantage. What do you see in terms of Diddy putting his mark on the next 3 to 4 years behind bars?
Well, when you look at he is a billionaire. I don't want to forget that because that's huge. You talked about how much money he had. Yes, it's slowly trickling away. These lawyers, believe me, are taking millions of it. But he's got a lot of money, and you can bet that people are going to want to ingratiate themselves to Diddy while they are on the inside. And that people that do that, he might be willing to give, you know, an accounting job to, right? So most of these people are going to be hard, white collar type criminals that have committed horrible financial fraud. So I could see him making some friends in there, definitely, that could become friends on the outside as well.
Wouldn't that be interesting? He could make some more fine people that will help work in the empire. But maybe not the most ethical as well. That could be an interesting mix. I've been saying this, and I wonder what we're going to see. Do you think we're going to see Diddy trying to do the same sort of things that he did when he was behind bars in jail, where he started the class that was sanctioned through the Bureau of Prisons, Free Game or something he called it, teaching basically, you know, the life and times of Diddy and how to be a good business person. Is that something? Are we going to see him still trying to grandstand, you think, behind bars? Is there going to be room for him to do that sort of thing behind bars in a prison system?
I think somewhat, but it'll mostly be, you know, in my opinion, okay, I'm sardonic. It's going to be more for show. I see what he's going to be trying to figure out is, how am I going to remain celibate for 50 months? I mean, I'm used to freak-offs. So I see that going on behind bars, and there being an issue more with that piece of his world that he's going to have to give up. I don't know how he's going to give it up behind bars.
Do you think?
Is that going to be a problem for him if he's not, doesn't care?
I think he'll find a way. I mean, you know, I think he'll find a way behind bars, and I picture, you know, a lot of diddling going on behind. That's what I think.
A lot of Diddy diddling behind bars.
I was just going to say that.
Question for you. Do you think he would be able to do any recording, any musical things, you know, as rehab? Would they allow him to do anything like that? Since they would allow country club activities, would they allow him to continue to do some music back there?
You know, it's a great question. I have never seen anything like that, a sound studio or microphones in all the prisons I've been in. Never seen anything like that. I don't think that would be allowed. I mean, he's going to have a lot of time in solitude. Those doors are going to bang. These are not going to be Ritz-Carlton meals. It's going to be a huge life change for him. But he's been in a facility that's going to be worse. But back to your question, I don't expect there to be any Diddy tunes. And let's be honest, he was never a good singer anyway.
No. Right. I mean, it wouldn't be the... Right. But I mean, honest to God, if they have access to an iPad, he can make an album. There's so many younger artists that are coming up today that don't even need the studios that are using just simply their iPad to record. And I'm touching my face because my allergies are horrible right now, by the way, in case you're watching.
We need to put you into a bubble suit.
I'm trying to like not sneeze while I talk. So I'm like rubbing my nose as I'm going through this. Like, don't sneeze. Allergies are horrible.
Me itch.
Yeah,
I know. I want to rub my eyes now. It's like a yawn. It's contagious.
Diddy still, obviously, there's all these civil suits that are out against him. Is that going to be used as field trip days for him to get out to go, you know, make appearances in court, you think? Or is he going to have a more of a vested interest of not appearing in court and just having all those sort of things handled by his attorneys, less press in that case being a positive for him. Even, you know, typically he's everywhere, no matter good or bad, but I would think maybe staying out of the spotlight as best as possible with the words, you know, essay around you might be beneficial.
Yeah, and his attorneys are going to be able to handle most things. Now, obviously, if he's deposed, he has no Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination now that this case is over. So all of that is on the table for him to be deposed. But even in that situation, most likely they would do that remotely. Most depositions take place that way anyway, post-COVID, and that's how they're going to do these. Hmm.
Do you think there's any risk of, Diddy is resourceful. Diddy has always found ways of getting into things. I am curious. Do you think there's the likelihood we're going to see Diddy get involved in any sort of, you know, illegal schemes from behind bars that may lead to new charges, you know, with other folks that are behind bars as well for other things, fraud, coercion, blackmail, things of that nature. I'm just I'm just kind of an opinion-based question. Do you think we're going to see him getting into any trouble behind bars, or is he going to really walk a very clear line as much as possible to get out as fast as he possibly can?
He's going to want to get out fast, but again, he's in there a long time, and that's going to be a long period of time for a lot of temptation. You know, he has led a completely different life than this last year or so that he's been locked up. And Tony, I think it's going to be tough for him to walk the straight and narrow. Again, I fully expect him to make some very interesting connections inside, connections that could last on the outside, because I've seen that that's just how it works in prison.
Yeah.
But in terms of dealings and everything with inside, I expect him to have all sorts of deals going on, because that's what they do inside. They have to survive and they have to meet their needs.
The attitude of Diddy on the outside is very different than the attitude of Diddy on the inside, basically. Out here, most look at him like, don't want to touch him. Like, it's just doesn't look good to be connected. But on the inside, he still very much maintains that celebrity, does he not?
Yeah, I think he will. They all know they're in there for various crimes, and it's not like they got him on, you know, molesting a child or killing a child. You know, the actual charges, and believe me, these inmates are going to know the full breadth of the charges, even the ones he wasn't convicted of. And I just think that his celebrity will take over. And also, look at the guy. He looks like an old man now. When I've posted those pictures, people say, are you just making that up? Is that really Diddy? I'm like, yep, that's Diddy. He doesn't have hair dye anymore. He doesn't have Botox in there. And he's done a complete transformation, in my opinion, as to how he looked on the outside. So, you know, he's a broken man, in my opinion. You saw him there down on his knees. He's mentally broken. But he's a survivor. He'll find a way on the inside. It's not going to be that bad compared.
Do you think he'll be rehabbed at all? Do you think he will truly have some remorse for what he did and this might shape him up?
No. No. I just can't think of it. I wish I could think of a case where somebody was truly remorseful for their criminal act. And I can't think of one in 28 years of working law enforcement and even on the outside working the crimes I work. I can't think of one. They usually are just mad they got caught.
Yeah.
I don't think he's capable.
Most narcissists do get mad that they got caught. It's not that they were thinking, gee, I shouldn't be doing this.
No.
This thing that I'm doing. It's, oh, shit, I just got caught.
He's not capable of feeling that. That's the thing. It's not a will he. Is he going to be convinced? Is there going to be enough pressure on him? Is he going to? No, it's like this. It's not an option for him. To me, it's like going to a blind person and going, do you think you're going to be able to see now that you ran all those people off the road when you were driving a car while you were blind? No, they weren't able to see then. They're not able to see now. They're never going to be able to see. And that, I think it's just how some people are. It's just how, and that's what enables the behavior to go, I think, to such lengths that we see in someone like Diddy, and why it went where it did. It's the scary aspect of Diddy.
I wonder what the people in the prison are going to do with him. I mean, do you think he's going to have like his little lunch crowd that he hangs out with? Is he going to come up with it? Well, they wouldn't do knitting, would they? Because you need actual knitting needles. I'm thinking this through out loud. I wonder what kind of a group he's going to bond with. You know, like a religious group, musical group. You know, maybe he'll do a cappella singing in there. You know,
I think he's going to be a preacher. Honest to God, I think that's his way out. I think when Diddy comes out, Diddy is going to be a mega preacher. I'm not even joking. I know it sounds somewhat nutty, but I think that's the route he's going to take. It's going to be this redeemed man that, oh, I found God and I'm so sorry. And look at me. I'm here to help everybody redeem themselves. While at the end of the day, it's just all the narcissism and everybody look at me.
He could start his own mega church when he gets out.
Yeah.
People would go.
Yeah, I could see that. And can you imagine the financial fraud that would be flowing through that mega church?
Yeah. Wow.
if that were to take place.
Wow.
Let's move over to the David case, cutting through a lot of the noise over there. 15-year-old found on September 8th in the frunk of the impounded Tesla owned by artist David. The cause and manner still pending. Electronics seized in the property of David. There's still a lot of questions, a lot of rumor, a lot of not knowing really any information other than they found a woman who was friends with David at some point in time in a frunk of a car. And that's what we know. That's pretty much, you know, the end and the end all be all at this moment in time. So many weeks in, Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent. Why is it? Why are we so far into this in terms of time and there is no arrest? What does that tell you about what's going on behind the scenes?
Well, this is the biggest problem. They have to get a forensic anthropologist to explain how in the world she's deceased. And that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Was it a homicide? Was it, and I can't imagine this, a suicide and then somebody took her body and put her in there? Was it completely accidental, like an overdose? I mean, to me, the one thing that cannot be denied is somebody tampered with her body, put her in that frunk, and that is a very chargeable offense. That is the only thing that's bothering me, is why in the world haven't they been able to identify that person? And the only conclusion I can make is because the cameras were disabled or the cameras were enabled, but the person was Brian Koberger kitted out. And like I said, didn't have the big eyebrows to distinguish him or her.
But we're talking about a very heavily trafficked area. There are other security cameras beyond the car. You know, you're going to have street cams. You're going to have ring cams. You're going to God knows however many other cams. That's why I'm just kind of surprised this far in. I can't imagine they're sitting there going, well, the security features on the car weren't working. I guess we're screwed. I mean, they got to be like, okay, the car was here. The car was there. It was at these locations. I cannot imagine they don't know who the hell or have a good idea who was in possession of that vehicle. And it likely wasn't David, considering his location while some of these things would have been going on, at least moving in the vehicle. Doesn't appear he could have physically possibly been there. But it's your car. Somebody within your orbit was. How on earth have we not figured that out yet?
Well, and I think in line with that question is, when did she really die?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we know weeks. Weeks is so broad. What is happening with their timeline? You know, they have the timeline from when she was discovered. They have the ticket on the car back, I believe it was the 29th, was the ticket. So we know the car was there then. We have this severe decomposition, but again, in a plastic bag in Los Angeles over all those weeks, she's going to be severely decomposed. I already showed you, I don't think there's any possible way to put her body in there other than to have it dismembered, which was the original reporting from KTLA. Yeah. So the point is, when did all of this happen? And that vehicle tracking system is still going to exist. There's still GPS on that system. They should be able to have a tightened up timeline by this point. It's just putting who is in that timeline. I guess they have to be struggling with.
Are they struggling? I guess there's a lot of ways this could be going, and that's what the behind the curtain, what's the wizard doing that makes it all the more curious is, okay, are they struggling to figure out who did this, or have they discovered this is something bigger? Do you think we could be looking at that? Could we be looking at some sort of, look, and I'm not trying to accuse David of anything, but I don't know who his circle is or who he runs with or somebody within that circle. Could we be looking at something larger, a trafficking circle or some sort? She was a runaway. Obviously on and off, she's reported missing. So, you know, this is the, if this is the type of folks that they're hanging around with, or that circle is hanging around with, it also happens to be the type of circle of folks that end up being trafficked as well. So I that's what I'm wondering. Like, are we going to find something else? Is there something bigger at play here where let's not disturb the ecosystem more than it already has been, so we can get our tentacles in here and discover something bigger and larger and stop more people from being hurt beyond Celeste?
Well, I love the question, but when you look at these cases, if you're the wizard, you better damn well get the Tin Man, the Straw Man, and the Lion in and start questioning them. And whoever put her in that trunk, and obviously they don't know, because if they did, I can tell you, they could have already done that arrest and be putting pressure on them for desecration of a corpse and mistreatment of a corpse and hiding a corpse. Those are all legal, you know, those are laws, and I would have them in there and I would be putting the screws to them to work that web out. That I think is the most confusing part to me. Okay, you don't know whether how this happened, but you know she got in there. Why is that person not been identified? And that's the surprising part to me. With all the cameras and, you know, the timeline from that vehicle, why can't they figure out who put her in the trunk?
Is there any chance that they know who this is and they're just biding their time trying to piece things together and we're going to find out? Or do you think they really just don't know?
I think they don't know, because I can't imagine not putting the screws to that person. And that means taking away their liberty and making them uncomfortable in a jail cell where they have to think about, am I going to cover for how this all happened? So I just can't imagine that behind the scenes, they're just interviewing that person. They would normally want to put the screws to them unless they're trying to work some sort of undercover situation, which that does happen. When you know one person is responsible, at least for part of the crime, sometimes you want to be working an undercover operation where you're wiring them up, you're sending them in, you're trying to get conversations, you're making phone calls, you're trying to get the people that might have been involved to talk. And if you're sitting there in a jail cell, nobody's going to talk. So that's about the only alternative scenario, other than they don't know, right? It's either they know and they're doing this alternative possibility, or they just don't know.
That's the big question. When you don't have a lot of information, any sort of noise in a case becomes headline news. Oh my gosh, what is this about? And it doesn't all necessarily mean that it matters, that it has anything to do with it. We had heard about the swatting calls to a property that is owned by David's family, his mother and father owning it. And we'll talk about the property transfer in just a few moments. But I want to talk first about the swatting call, because a lot of people are bringing that up of, oh my gosh, is this connected? Does this have something to do with the person who did this to Celeste? I don't even understand why we're jumping into any sort of connection, other than there's this big story around this celebrity and somebody figured out where the parents live and they made a swatting call. The kids do this shit all the time. Like, I don't see why that this necessarily even connects in any way, shape, or form to the case.
I think the way it connects is so remote, and that is, David, we think you're responsible for this. We're going to make your life uncomfortable and your family's life uncomfortable. We got the numbers, so we're going to do a SWAT call. That's how I see it. You know, a lot of people in the audience, a lot of people on my platform, everybody is pretty much convinced it's David. He hasn't been charged, but his actions look terrible. You know, why do you cancel your entire concert schedule abroad and here, unless the police have said you can't go abroad?
Yeah.
And here, you know, he's gone in total hiding. That is not normally what somebody would do. Remember, there's nothing they haven't even named him a suspect.
That's true. That's a good point, because when you look at, and not to say that because one other celebrity handled this way that the other would handle it that way. But when you had like the R. Kellys of the world and things like that, and R. Kelly, like specifically, he still was out there touring until like they literally locked him away and said no more. To go into complete hiding, I guess, is I guess what I think a lot of us would have expected other artists would have done when, you know, stuff's hitting the fan, but others did not, but he is. So yes, it looks suspicious, but is it? I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate there for a second, and you can't go on world tours and such if your funding is dried up either. So I think you could look at that, and I don't know the answer to that, but if you have a bunch of, you know, sponsors that are enabling you to go and tour, and they're suddenly saying, yeah, we're not going to fund this anymore because you breached the contract based on this being a story, I could see there's not really much of an option to go tour if there's no dollars to put you there either.
Okay. Couple of things on that.
Okay.
First of all, let's just $20,000 a month that he was paying for his house, right? Not a big number for people in that circle, but all of a sudden he moves out of there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then your sponsors aren't going to dry up on you if your story is legitimate. If you say, listen, you know, I was touring with you. I had nothing to do with this car. Five other people, you know, dealt with the car. I haven't seen Celeste since July. I don't know anything about this. And if it passes the smell test, I don't think all of that's going to dry up all of a sudden. I just by the very fact that sponsorship, the tour, everything has completely alienated from David, despite the money to be made, especially with all this publicity, they would be sold out at every venue. Everybody would want to look at the potential front killer, right? But we have nothing. And I think that's a big deal. You mentioned R. Kelly. How about Diddy? How about
Diddy too? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oscar. They don't even hide in a turtle shell and just stop their ability to earn a living. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really a big deal, I think.
So you would say his actions after the fact have looked far more suspicious and possibly criminal. I mean, obviously all speculation. He's not been charged with anything, but his actions after the fact are what's raising your eyebrows more than anything else.
Yeah. His actions, the complete withdrawal from society, from his tour, just basically saying, okay, millions and millions of dollars, I'm not going to go out and make that.
What about the property records? Because that's another piece that we've been seeing about this last week. Two pieces of property moved into his parents' names or his mom's name, from what we understand, allegedly. And this happening shortly after the body was found in the trunk. It was just a kind of a silent move. And again, I'm going to play devil's advocate. This doesn't necessarily mean any sort of guilt, but if you are envisioning, oh, there could be a legal windfall coming your way that could threaten these sort of things civilly or criminally, whether you had anything to do with it or not, you can't necessarily control the wave that's going to come at you. If one of your associates did this and your name's attached to it, you're going to want to protect yourself, especially if you had nothing to do with this. Do you see that the movement of those properties to shield them, because clearly that's the reason for it, there's no other reason why you'd move these things around, as something that leans more towards an area of involvement, guilt, or just smart business move?
Well, it looks bad. There's no way to say it doesn't look bad. Yes, you bring up a good possibility that he just thinks he's going to take the fall, so he wants to make sure he protects his assets and puts them in his mom's name, I believe they said, of both of those properties. But most people, if he has a legitimate alibi, if he has a legitimate way to distance himself from what happened to Celeste, most do not act this way. Most And in fact, if he loved this girl enough to get a tattoo and become a Hello Kitty sponsor, why in the world is he not showing a little bit of, even if it's just to come on and say, Celeste was a close friend of mine. Oh my God, I can't believe this happened. We're not seeing anything. So I think his actions look really bad.
It's a weird PR move to stay silent. I understand not wanting to say anything, but he could have said something, anything. And but he he's
damned if he is, damned if he doesn't, I kind of feel like, isn't he? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, if he comes out and says something, oh, he's trying to cover it up. If he comes out and you also may have camp going, see, he had nothing to do with it. He's human. I don't know that the guy can win in any way, shape, or form here other than just shutting up in terms of opening himself up to liability.
Well, he may not win, but he could certainly move the public meter in his favor if mm-hmm. he's given a written statement about how terrible he feels about this death, even as somebody who, you know, isn't. I mean, none of us are close to Celeste, but all of us have this feeling of empathy for this 14-year-old, not even 15. She was found the day after she would have turned 15. She was 14 of the strife of this young girl. And clearly he knew her. So to say something even in written form so you could run it past your lawyer and be safe. The other thing is he didn't even go to her funeral.
That's a problem.
I was going to ask about that. Because, I mean, it was a small private. And again, devil's egg, he may not have been invited to the funeral. I mean, if you're the family and you're burying your runaway daughter has had this real weird, questionable relationship with this celebrity, do you want that celebrity at your daughter's funeral? If you could say, please don't show up. I think I'd be saying, please don't show up. I kind of got to look at it both ways. Jen?
Yeah, no, I like your point. This happened with Karen Reed too, right? But that was a huge funeral, thousands of people. She could have easily melted into the background. She didn't go to the funeral either. Obviously, the family didn't want them there because they believe she was her son. But back to this point, you make a good point. They might have said, we don't want you to go there. But I don't even know that they would know how to contact him. I mean, the bottom line is, I think it's just optics. You know, you want to get the public on your side. He's done nothing to get the public on his side.
Are you surprised? I mean, because it's oftentimes it's not like when a celebrity's in a situation, they suddenly are gifted the wisdom from above as to how to handle this. They have PR people, and that happens because they have money, because they have record labels, because they have things that are behind them that have a vested interest in this person not spinning out into oblivion and taking their cash cow with them. I'm wondering what the hell's going on here. There's been some pretty bad PR people over the years, too. I mean, Cosby's had some horrible ones. There's been some Diddy's had some horrible ones where it's like, wow, do you work like next to the Rent-A-Center, you know, over in the mini mall? Is that where your PR firm is? But there's usually something. Here, there's nothing, at least not very public facing compared to what we've seen with other celebrities in other very questionable situations.
Yeah, you know, I'm really curious as to how much power he has with his PR people. In other words, you know that a lot of the people behind the scenes, the public figure, they have a lot of power. They're really running the show and they're not listening. So is he listening to his PR people?
Yeah.
I guess that's a good question.
Well, he does. We know he has PR people because his PR representative came out and said right after she was found, my client is fully cooperating with authorities.
Okay.
We have that statement, but we also have that statement that just came out where from LAPD, the detective on the case, where he said, I can neither confirm nor deny that he's cooperating with authorities.
What does that mean to you when you hear that?
What does that say?
That means he's not. When they are, you say they are.
Oh.
Okay.
Why would they be so vague about that? Why would they say it that way?
They say it that way for a couple of reasons. First of all, if he's done anything at all, made contact, you know, had an attorney make contact, they don't want to say he's completely uncooperative. And some law enforcement authorities will just call it the way it is. He's not cooperating. But to me, this makes it seem like he's not cooperating, but they're holding out for a change. That's how I see it.
Okay. Interesting.
Wonder how long you wait to hold that out to see what's going to happen here with a change, if there's ever to be anything. At some point, he owns the... If this guy wasn't David the artist, if he's, you know, David who works, you know, down the road at the Citco, and his main job during the day is changing out the Slurpee machine. And they found a body in the trunk of his car. Would we be sitting here all these weeks later with nothing going on with that individual? Or are they handling this a lot more cautiously because there's celebrity involved? Because if you screw this up, if you really destroy his name by going too hard, too quick, and he really didn't have anything to do with it, you open your ass up for a huge lawsuit as well.
Well, and I think it, yes, it's definitely your points that you make, Tony, and then add to it some of the egg on the face we've seen lately. And again, Diddy is the perfect example.
Yeah.
Because once you charge, the clock is ticking. And these smart lawyers are starting to say, you know what? We might not be ready. We don't have the burden of proof. We're going to let the clock tick. We're not going to say we're going to give up our, liability in terms of the amount of time that you have to bring the case forward. And this is something new that we're just seeing now. Most of the time that is waived. Like in the case of the Idaho 4, they waived that right away. They said, listen, we don't care about our speedy trial. We're not at all ready. That's the stance they took. But you look at these other trials, what they're doing now is they're saying, you know what? We're ready. Bring it on. And the problem is, in a lot of cases, like I think with the Diddy, I don't think they were fully ready.
This is such a game of chess, isn't it? I mean, there's so much strategy on the back end of this that I think the public just doesn't understand.
It is. It's a lot of chess, and you only get one bite at the apple, as I've said before. And because this case is blown up in the media, most, you know, anybody in true crime, and that's a newsie, has heard about this case, and they have to make sure that they don't get it wrong. They've got to get it right the first time.
Yeah. And that's what's so confusing about this case is everybody's jumping at anything and everything that they possibly can because they're desperate for a piece of this story. I mean, we're looking at it every day going, okay, well, what's new? And like some days there's just no angle to cover. So, if you need to do something, then people will dissect some angle or make it bigger than it actually is. But I think that's what's really important in this is to look at every angle and go, okay, this is a mountain, not a molehill, and vice versa. Because some could pitch it either way. And if you're looking for answers, one could interpret everything as being mountains when they're truly not. And then that gets in the way of just getting to justice and figuring out what actually took place. It's fascinating. We'll see where this goes. Do you feel like we're any closer, like we're going to be seeing an arrest or a charge or something sometime soon against someone?
I think right now all the cards are on the table of that forensic anthropologist. There is so much to go through for them to figure out what happened because apparently we don't have a gunshot wound. So we can just, that is out, in my opinion. That's out. Yeah. As if that were the situation and anything to do with blunt force trauma is going to be masked in some way by all the, you know, the degradation of the body. So now they've got to figure out what substances are in here. And unfortunately, those aren't overnight. And even though this is an important case in the public's eye, listen, they have 50 more cases that were likely ahead of this case.
Yeah.
Because as you said, the Sitka worker that, you know, was involved possibly in murder, they've got all those Sitka cases, too, that we never hear about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still waiting in line. You don't get the fast pass just because you're a celebrity in something like this. It's going to be fascinating to continue to watch. Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent. As always, thank you for coming on and giving your insight into this one. Break the Case is Jen's podcast. You can get it wherever you get podcasts. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaff on YouTube. Or like I said, wherever podcasts are available. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube or, again, wherever you're getting podcasts. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Until next time, for Jen, for Stacy, for Todd, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.